And then you would just dip it inside.
Okay, and there it's going to soak up
the
colors.
It soaks up a bit. You can use more than one egg just to save some time.
Okay.
I hope there are not too many Bulgarians watching, judging my egg dyeing technique, because this is how we did it at my home, you know, okay. in my household.
Science on the Menu, a podcast by the European Food Safety Authority.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Science on the Menu. My name's Ed Bray, and I'm joined today by Maria Dokova. So Maria, you know, as one of the anchors of our podcast, and together we're going to anchor this together. And the topic today, we're going to be looking again at food traditions. We did an episode on food traditions around the end of the year.
Yep.
Now we're going to be talking about food traditions going from winter to spring, and the religious festivals that we have around here, Easter being one of those, well known. And eggs will come up.
Eggs, we'll be talking about eggs quite a lot.
We will be talking about eggs quite a lot. And actually, starting with eggs, Maria, I know that you had an important tradition, right, growing up
yes.
in Bulgaria. Tell me about that.
In Bulgaria and actually in other, I think, Eastern European countries, because it's a Orthodox, Christian Orthodox tradition, we do the painting of the eggs, which is usually done on either the Thursday morning or the Saturday morning before Easter.
Right.
So it has a lot of symbolism, the process, the idea of painting an egg. But now it's become more of a fun activity, let's say, for the family. Usually kids are involved. At least for me, growing up was really a very something to look forward to around the holidays and around Easter. So how it works is that you boil some eggs, so hard-boiled eggs. You have a few usually jars of water in which you dissolve some food colorants, safe for food consumption. And then you dye these eggs, you dip the egg inside the jar mm-hmm. In the color that you wish to get. And then you actually can play also with the colors, which
okay.
bit take some cotton and maybe tap the egg with the color. And then these eggs, the more eggs you have, the better. These are also then used to maybe exchange between family and friends.
Right.
And the end purpose is actually to do something that we call egg tapping.
Okay, that sounds exciting.
Yes,
what is it?
it's a lot of fun, and I never realized that it's a peculiar tradition, maybe because, you know, when you grow up with it, it's really part of your, you know, how you celebrate. It's basically a game. Everybody chooses their egg in the family, and then you have to tap. One person taps the one end of the egg, and then whoever doesn't get their egg cracked is kind of the winner and has the fighter egg, so-called, which means it's like a good omen for the year ahead. It means that you would have good luck. But then the person who gets their egg cracked actually gets to eat their egg. So they're
okay.
also a winner in a way.
And I guess by eating the egg, you know, also they might not have cheated. I guess there could be ways to cheat by getting something in there that would make your egg stronger.
Indeed. It is a bit of a, most people don't cheat, I must say, but it is definitely a possibility that you might get also a fake egg or chocolate egg or something. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you show us, Maria,
indeed,
what this is all about in terms of dyeing the eggs?
Yes, I'll be very happy to. It's very exciting to do it since I'm away from home. So it's this, like, let's say for me, it's also the opening of the Easter season. So Ed, as I mentioned, we have our jar of water that we've prepared beforehand. So this is hot water,
okay.
and it's good practice. You put some vinegar in it, which makes the color kind of stick to the shell of the egg. So we have this, and then here I have some egg colorants or food coloring
so
you can choose from.
Yeah, we got four colors there. I think that looks like green, blue, orange, and looks like purple at the end.
I think it's purple, yes. This is purple. So I maybe just to mention for to you and our listeners and viewers, traditionally the first egg would be painted red.
Right.
Because it symbolizes also the blood of Jesus. And, you know, it's just the traditionally, all eggs, I think, were supposed to be red. But, you know, as time passes, more food coloring became available. Now we have all kind of colors of the rainbow, and also including, you can also put even some stickers and some decorations.
Nice.
Which to make it even more customized. But
to make it even more excellent.
Excellent, exactly.
Right, let's go with one of these. What should we go for? I reckon...
I leave it up to you to choose.
I think maybe a purple color.
A purple. Okay, let's take the
purple. No, let's take blue.
Let's go with blue. Okay, yeah. So I take the blue. How it works is you just put it into... You have different shapes. Oh, it's very
wow,
nice.
Wow, look at that. It's already going.
Yeah. You have different different types of dye. It could be also a liquid dye. It could be powder. And actually, the most natural way, let me just stir this a bit. The most natural way to dye your eggs, and how it used to be done traditionally before all this food coloring became industrially available, was to use food ingredients. For example, the peels of the onion, you would boil them so they release this purple red color, or saffron you could use. So this was also, of course, the traditional way to do it. Okay, that's quite blue, huh?
So now you've got the color. What you dip the egg in?
Yes.
How does it work with the coloring of the egg?
The coloring of the egg. Okay, let me leave this for a second. Maybe for our listeners to say that we have this very metallic blue, electric blue. I had boiled before that our egg. So this is, yes, a hard-boiled egg. And then it's very simple. You would take the egg, put it in the, depending on how careful you want to be, put it in a spoon. And then you would just dip it inside.
Okay, and there it's going to soak up
the
colors.
It soaks up a bit. You can use more than one egg just to save some time.
Okay.
I hope there are not too many Bulgarians watching, judging my egg dyeing technique, because this is how we did it at my home, you know,
okay.
in my household. So you would just dip the egg. The longer it stays, the better. And you could already see it starts picking up some color. So, okay, this looks like a bit more greenish.
And the longer you leave it in there,
the longer
more color.
You leave it in there, the more it absorbs color.
Okay.
So maybe we can actually leave it for a bit, and then at the end of the episode, we can
okay.
check on it and
yeah,
see
nice
if
idea.
It got bluer.
Okay, well, while that's kind of...
See, it's already becoming a bit... you can see it's taking up some color. Yeah.
While that's brewing in there,
yeah.
Let's talk some more about eggs. It's interesting that this... tradition that goes back a long time. I think it even goes back as far as medieval times, right? And then more recently, you had jewelers who were decorating eggs, most famously the Fabergé eggs, which were given as a gift from the Russian Tsar to his wife, and that became then a tradition. And talking about traditions, we love quizzes on this podcast, and I've got a quiz for you, Maria.
I'm ready.
Okay, so this is to do with eggs and different egg traditions. I've got four traditions here, but one of them I've made up. It's not true.
Okay.
The other three are all true traditions around eggs. Okay.
That's exciting, Ed. I'm really looking forward.
So here we go. In the US, the Easter egg roll is held on the White House South Lawn each Easter Monday for children and their parents. And it's hosted by the US President and the First Lady. Okay.
Okay. Let me think about it.
Then on Easter Monday, the residents of Eau in France, they crack more than 4,500 eggs into a gigantic pan to create a massive Easter omelette that serves over 1,000 people.
Okay.
Number three, in parts of Germany, it's common to decorate an Easter egg tree called an Ostereierbaum by hanging hundreds of painted eggs on tree branches. In number four, in some villages in Italy, there's the festival of the golden egg, which sees villagers search for a golden egg made of edible gold leaf, and whoever finds it becomes the egg king or queen for the rest of the year.
Wow, Ed. Did you made one up yourself?
One of these is made up.
Wow,
the other three
kudos,
are true.
Because, you know, I think it's very tricky with traditions because I think all cultures and countries have these very peculiar traditions and Honestly, I think they might all be true. Okay, I think the one about Germany, from my also knowledge of German, I think it sounds like it could be true.
That's true.
That would be true. The one about France making the omelette, I think it would also, I mean, I don't know, France omelette, although maybe you're trying to trick me there, but I would assume it's also true.
This is also true.
Okay, so this leaves me... I don't know. I feel like maybe the very first one, I know there's a tradition also around the over there about Thanksgiving, and this is also organized. So there might as well be something around Easter. And I've been living in Italy for quite some time now, and I've never heard of the golden leaf. So my guess would be that the red herring is the last one.
You are right. Yeah, okay. The final one I made up, and I've also not come across a golden egg.
Okay, good.
Although I think it sounds nice.
Maybe you start a new tradition, Ed, now.
Why not? And actually, for myself growing up, going out to hunt eggs was the main tradition. So the magic Easter bunny would leave eggs around and the children would go and collect them. And I think, as we mentioned in the edition we had around the time at the end of the year, there's lots of symbolism around this time of year with food. So rebirth, new life, abundance, all these kind of things are related to why we have bunnies for symbolism, chicks. Lamb is so important, both as food, but also the symbol of it. And these all symbolize both has religious significance for rebirth, Christ being arisen from the tomb, even an egg symbolizing a kind of tomb, rebirth, etc. So that's
actually
important.
Yeah, actually, the egg tapping game that I mentioned earlier, the really symbolic meaning behind this is this, that the egg symbolizing the rebirth, and then the cracking of the egg, the opening of the tomb of Jesus. So there is now, of course, in popular culture, and it's something that you take for granted. You don't really reflect so much on the symbolism behind it, and it's become kind of a norm to celebrate in this way. But it's true that there are deep symbolic meanings that are kind of intertwined in our food traditions and how we celebrate and how we consume food as well.
Yeah, exactly. And they go back, some of them go back, you know, back to medieval times. Some of them are more recent. I didn't know, for example, that the colomba here in Italy that takes the shape of a dove is relatively recent. Actually, it doesn't go back as far. But there are some foods, let's say, that have been eaten traditionally for many, many years. Maybe we can also mention the food safety aspect of eggs, which is very important. And you were telling me that you have a personal story, actually, about eggs and the importance of food safety.
Indeed, I do. It's something that happened to me in early childhood. So I was maybe 5-6 years old. So I don't have clear recollections of the exact event. But I was, the story goes like this. So one morning, a normal morning, I would wake up with symptoms of what you would consider to be a food poisoning or maybe a stomach flu. My mom, who's a doctor, actually very often would deal with this kind of things at home. So it would be very rare that we would go to a doctor, even general practitioner. But on that occasion, I remember she was like, oh no, this is something serious. We need to get you to a hospital immediately. Long story short, I was admitted to one hospital and then another, specifically about infectious diseases. And my symptoms, which were actually progressively getting worse and worse, then were traced back to possible case of Salmonella. Which in turn, investigating and thinking a bit about where could I have gotten the infection from, were traced back to some eggs that were purchased from a local producer, so off the market chain. And yes, as I was telling you, after I recovered, I remember maybe Easter actually was kind of one of the few exceptions in my childhood and adolescence that I was kind of being allowed to have an egg, maybe after egg tapping, you know, as a way to celebrate. And I became comfortable consuming, again, eggs and maybe at a later stage at university where you also don't have a lot of, you have to be creative with cooking.
Right.
So you maybe, you know, eggs is an easy thing to cook. But yes, it definitely stayed this association for me with eggs in danger.
Yeah, and it shows how important, especially for more vulnerable like children, how important good storage of eggs, making sure that they are, you know, that they haven't gone off, the eggs. And to do this, it's very important that they are kept at a constant temperature, so a cool temperature. I was reading that you can, if they're kept in the package, it stops the egg from taking on the flavors and aromas around them. Mm-hmm. So often you keep them in the package, unless you would like an exotic flavor, like a truffle flavor or something. And then chefs do that. They put them together with some kind of spice, etc. But the most important thing is to keep them cool, keep them stored well, and then check that the egg is still fine. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you can put them in water. And if they stay at the bottom, sunk at the bottom, and do not rise up,
like our egg there, we can see that it's still at the bottom.
If it were to float up to the surface, we know that we probably shouldn't consume it because there's an issue. There's air in the egg and that it's gone off.
You know, in Bulgaria, when we celebrate, because you do these big badges of in the case of coloring the eggs, for example, you sometimes do many, many eggs because you also have people overcoming and guests, and a lot of people put a lot of effort into, as you mentioned, the Fabergé eggs, really kind of decorating them to a point that they look like a decoration for the house. So very often these are exposed, maybe for a prolonged period of time, could be when you have guests over that need to pick the egg that they want to do the egg tapping with. So, you know, also remembering to still store them in the fridge, even though they're hard boiled and painted, they're still eggs. You know, they're not toys. It's still food that is potentially dangerous. So also egg storage.
And also actually the egg itself has a form of protection. So it's better not to wash the egg, because naturally eggs will have a form of protection against bacteria as well, which is interesting. There's a lot of talk actually about eggs right now for various reasons. One is that there's an outbreak of avian influenza, which is very serious around the world. And it's actually led to egg shortages in the US, have been in the news, prices of eggs going up. So that's one issue that we deal with at EFSA, related to combating avian influenza, et cetera, and tracking it. There's also issues related to the welfare of the chickens and the hens. And we came up with an opinion in, I think, in 2023 about laying hen welfare. And one of the recommendations is that cages are to be avoided wherever possible for the welfare of the laying hens.
Down
to us as consumer.
Indeed.
And what we do with the eggs also alters how good our food is, because while we may want to keep them in the fridge to cook with the eggs, we want to take them out and have them at room temperature, because that's when the magic happens with the chemistry of the egg, the butter, if you have butter, if you have milk. That's when the cooking process, they often advise you in the recipes to have room temperature. I don't know, you're a cook, Maria. Is this something that you take into account when you're preparing?
I do have, especially during the COVID pandemic, I did have a few attempts at baking. I think it's interesting what you mentioned about the fluctuation in temperature as well. So I try to be mindful of this.
Should we have take a look at how that egg's doing before we finish? I was going to
suggest the same. Should we have a look at our egg? The blue is even bluer. I think it's quite... definitely completely dissolved, and actually the color now is a bit more greenish. That's interesting. Wow. I think it really depends also on the shell of the egg,
right?
How the color that you have, how it's being absorbed. But I think we got a good result overall.
That's beautiful. I think you've done a good job, Maria.
I think, yes, thank you.
You're all ready for that now.
I'm ready for Easter, yes. And then what you would do is you would just put it on a plate somewhere and then let it dry. And, okay, that's good. This is the final result. This is a very basic way to do it.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier, people get very creative and have different patterns sometimes. So yeah, you just need 20 more of these and then you can do egg tapping and then you're ready to celebrate. Yes. stored at the right temperature, of course, after you've dyed them. Good to put it in the fridge. And yeah.
Right. And then you can find out if your egg is a fighter egg or,
exactly.
or not.
You can find out if you get the fighter egg. And if not, don't worry, then you get to eat your egg. So still fine.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Maria, for introducing me to this really nice tradition. To our listeners and our viewers, please tell us your traditions at this time of year. Drop us a note. We'd be interested to hear them. Thank you very much for watching, for listening. Please engage with the podcast wherever you find it. And that's all from myself. Thank you to you, Maria.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks, everyone.
And see you again next time on Science on the Menu. Goodbye.